preacher, brother. It's good to be with you. I think it's working.
It's working well.
It is good to be with you today, and we trust that the Lord will continue to shower His mercy upon us. And I would ask you to introduce some new prayers as we stand before you. That the Lord of all mercy would be merciful to all of us as we gather this morning. In the book of Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, the first verse there says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. That would be our desire as we gather this morning, that we all may be comforted by the Word of God, that His Word would be profitable to us, that it would be a benefit to us. That as we journey in this world, that His Word would be a deliverance for us, that we might avoid some of life's pitfalls, and that our eyes indeed might be fixed upon Him from on high. We know that He is able, but we also know that all times we are not willing. But through the preaching of the gospel, we trust that the Lord would use that to make us willing servants, obedient servants, that we might journey in a way that might be pleasing to Him. If you have your Bibles, I would like to go to Isaiah 40 this morning. Near the end of that chapter, about starting at verse 25 of Isaiah 40. And it reads, to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who have created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Well, there is no one. I think that's the simple truth of the matter. As the Lord our God reigneth, and He reigneth supremely in the heavens above and in this earth below. But yet mankind, as we see Brother Garris mentioned how the world is getting waxed worse and worse. And we see that mankind in and of himself by nature has no fear of God, has no reason to fear that there is anything going on after this life. I mean, that song that we sing, when the storm passes over, Satan would indeed deceive us. Even attempt to deceive God's own little children. That there's no hope beyond this life. But yet, we have been told by the Word of God and have been revealed to us by the Spirit of Almighty God that the truth of the matter is this, that God's little children simply are just travelers in this world, that we're longing for a better home, that we long to be home with our Lord, and that when we're absent from this clay tabernacle, that is where we will be. So there is that the ideal that it's just this life is but a vapor, if we read the gospel in the Word of God. It's but a minute. The brother that lived to be 93, that's just a vapor. We as God's children will live forevermore in the presence of He who created this world and all that therein is. As we were driving today, Sister Glass was talking about the foliage and colors. Man cannot even begin to create the colors that God creates. I mean, we see the seasons and see the times changing, and we see the handiwork of a merciful God. We simply just look up and open our eyes and behold His creation. And simply behold, brethren, all that He has done for us as His dear children. When we think about the Word of God being comforting to us, brethren, if we've been blessed to understand just a little bit of that good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be comforted. If we have been just to see just a glimmer, you know, Scripture says that we see through a glass darkly. That might be true, but yet the Lord has blessed us to see nonetheless. And that which we have been blessed to see, brethren, it is indeed joy unspeakable and full of glory. It has given us a hope. You know, if we look at life as it is revealed to us on national TV or in the news, if we look at life as that's life and that's how it is, brethren, oh, that is a pitiful existence. But if we behold the glory of Almighty God, and we understand the work that He has wrought within our hearts and the heart of His children, that He has brought out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light, we behold those truths, brethren. We realize that there truly is a God in heaven. Oh yes, sin is greatly about it, getting worse and worse, and the world is waxing worse and worse. But brethren, that does not weaken at all the hand of He who created this world. He is mighty. He is merciful in His deliverance of His own. And brethren, He will continue to shower those mercies upon us as long as we travel in this world. And then when we're home, brethren, we'll be in His presence to praise Him evermore. And the writer says, lift up your eyes on high and behold who have created these things. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. You know, brethren, we're so prone to be fixated on some of the natural things in this world and simply neglect to behold the might, the power, and the glory of the Lord our God. Everything that we see, brethren, that is worth rejoicing in has been created by the Lord our God. When we drive through the mountains and this time of the year, and we view the many colors there, that how can we not in all appreciate that which God has created for us and bless us to enjoy as we journey in this world. You know, when we're young, old folks may say, well, you know, it's take time to smell the roses.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we don't take time to enjoy anything that God has given us because we're so wrapped up and entangled with the things of this world. God tells us to behold His glory. To behold that which He has created and given us to enjoy as we journey in this tiny world. That we may find a sense of peace and comfort as we journey homeward. You know, we were aren't, it wasn't given to us to be miserable in this life. Yes, we read in the scriptures that man born of a woman but a few days but full of troubles. But yet, in all of those troubles, the Lord promised you that he will be with there with you to carry you through each and every trouble. He didn't put you here to be miserable and to whine and pine about all the things that's going on around you in a negative way. But simply to remember that he fainteth not. He's not weary. He's not asleep. Behold your God, brethren, who reigns supremely in the heavens above. As the psalmist says, look up for what's going to be help. Don't be overwhelmed by the sin that's going on in this world, but behold, he who has created this world, who has born you anew, and one sweet day he will take you home to be with him.
What a blessing.
And you will forever be in his presence. These trials here, brethren, are not even worthy to be compared with that which he has prepared for you. Eye has not even seen, nor could it even imagine the good things that the Lord has prepared for his people. And we, brethren, have been given that hope that we are his people. I mean, brethren, don't let the adversary dupe you into thinking that somehow there's no hope for you, there's no help for you. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ promised you that he will be with you in every circumstance of life when you journey here. Now, who are you going to believe? He who has always been a liar from the beginning? Oh, he who is there has declared himself that I am the truth. I am the way. I am the giver of life. Now, who, brethren, do we set our eyes and hope upon? Him? Or he who has been a liar forever? You know, none of these things are going to affect your homeward destination.
Nope.
If he died for you, you've got to go home.
Amen.
None of these things is going to impact that at all. But what the adversary would have you do is be miserable.
Sure.
Be miserable all of your existence. Even though it's a vapor, it can seem like a long, long time. If you're miserable, hope in God. Hope in that which he has promised and which he has given you already. That is just a taste, a very small taste. You know how you can sit around and have this fabulous meal. And sometimes you're blessed to just taste a little bit of it. That which God has prepared for you, brethren, is greater than anything that you could behold on this side of glory. You will be filled and you will be satisfied. And that not of ourselves, but is a gift from God. It is he who has prepared those sins for us. And for all of those that he gave to his son in the covenant of grace before coming life. It's not dependent on how good you are. It's not dependent upon how well you run the race. But it's dependent on that finished work that has already finished. It's already been accomplished. All you need to do is simply enjoy it. It is there for you to enjoy. Or it is there for you to, like many little kids would do, it is there for you to just sort of toss aside and pay no attention to it whatsoever. Sometimes we think that, you know, people love living in this. Have you ever had those kinds of friends? It's like, nothing. They don't want to be happy. They always want something to complain. They want to live in misery. But you don't have to. That's the beauty of the truth, brethren, is that we don't have to live in misery.
Right.
If we live in misery, that's a choice that we're making. But the gift that has been given you is life and life eternal.
Amen.
We have been given that abundant life, brethren, that we might rejoice in the goodness of Almighty God. That as we journey in this land, we journey with a hope, brethren, a hope of everlasting, that one sweet day when we're absent from this body, we'll be in His presence because of that what His Son has already done for us. Not because we were worked hard enough or worked good enough. You know how we labor and work hard because we want the boss to give us a raise and then he passes you over and he doesn't give you anything. But then you stop working and get fired. It's like there's no win there. I had a young lady that would come and tell me, she said, what do I need to do to get promoted? Do your job. That's all you gotta do is just do your job. You know, brethren, I've told, you know, if you're going to be a ditch digger, dig ditches to the glory of God. It is He who is giving you that talent, whatever that talent might be. We do it to His glory. We do it to His praise, not to be eye pleasers or men pleasers, but we do it to His glory. Amen. And all will be well. He will take care of you. Not your boss, but God will take care of you.
Amen.
Why? Because He has loved you with an everlasting love. And He always will.
That's right. Everlasting.
Nothing will ever separate that love, brethren.
Yeah.
His Son made us sure of that. When He gave up His life to you and I, He freely gave it up, brethren. And declared unto the Father that all that Thou hast sent me to do is finished.
Yeah.
I have finished all that Thou hast given me to do, that Thy children will be redeemed unto Thee.
Amen.
And never separated. So when we behold His glory, then we acknowledge what the writer is telling us is that, don't lift up your eyes on high. And behold that which God has given us. And the writer goes on, he says that He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one failing. You know, I was looking at Sister Lori when I came in. I says, how's Brother JD? when Brother Terry was in my head and on my lips. I says, how's Brother JD? And she looked at me and said, oh, that's Brother JD. I say that to say, you know, the Word of God tells us that He called them all by names. I can't even remember your guys' name. It's just a handful of you. Can you imagine a God who knows all of our names and has written all of our names in the book? And that sweet little sister says that we hear on Christian radio who says, make sure you do all you think, all you can do so that your name is in the book. If your name was not in the book before the creation in this world, it ain't going to get in there.
That's exactly right.
You see, brethren, the thoughts of mankind, our minds and our understanding, we cannot attain to the thoughts purpose of a living God. And while we may think that we're educated, those things in which we're educated in are no help or benefit to us
when it comes to spiritual things.
Absolutely.
I don't care if you have a PhD. No, nothing against PhD people, but I don't care whether you have one or not. When it comes to the wisdom of God and God's little children understanding who God is, that wisdom, brethren, comes from above.
Amen.
It is freely given. As James would say, that he who lacks, which means you feel that your wisdom is insufficient, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Don't go to school to try to figure it out. Ask the Creator of this world and all that there is. And James says that he will give it to you deliberately.
That's right.
And afraid of not. He's not going to chastise you like I would. You come to me, I said, didn't I tell you that already? I've told you that 3 times, and any more times I'll have to tell you. God is not like that. He will give it to you freely as if it asks. If you're like me, you don't remember tomorrow, ask again tomorrow, and he'll give it to you again. That is the God we serve. That is the joy that he has given us, that we might know him and the power of his life, and to know him and to love him because he first loved us, and to understand that the love he has for us, liking him to the love that he has for his son, when he sent here to pay a sin debt for you and I, and all of those that he gave to his son, because we could not pay ourselves. You know, when I think of we could not pay ourselves, I would even go further and say, we wouldn't want to.
Right.
We wouldn't have a desire to. We would never have that level of understanding that would need. So if you feel that you need to be forgiven, that's a good thing. It's not natural. That is a good thing that the Lord has begun a work within you, which he will complete. Let's skip a couple of verses. I can't skip that.
It
says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? I understand here that God is talking to his people. He's not talking to a natural man. He's talking to his own. Why sayest thou, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known?
Yeah, there you go.
Hast thou not heard? Have we not been given eyes to see? Have we not been given ears to hear? Have we not been given a heart of understanding? If we have, then why sayest thou that my way is hid from the Lord? Like a little child, we hide in darkness, thinking that God doesn't see, God doesn't hear. God is everywhere present.
Yes, he is.
He sees you in the closet. He sees you in the dark when no man can see you. He is there. But a child of grace would boldly say that I sin no more. And we declare unto the Lord our God that yet, since I have been born anew, I have not committed any sins at all. Well, the word of God would say to you that if you say that you sin not, you're a liar.
Yep.
But he also tells us that we're to confess.
Yep.
And if we do, remember that when we do confess our sins, it is a benefit to us. Because our God is faithful. He's faithful to forgive us. And he's faithful to cleanse us. That burden might be lifted. Imagine Linus here. It's coming up Christmas time. The Grinch has stole Christmas. He's got this big bag. He's got it. I can barely move. He's been carrying all his baggage and all his luggage. Whip. Do you believe that a little child of grace can have a life like that? Yes, it can. Because they fail to understand that they yield to the faithfulness of the Lord our God. God says, come to me, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me, confess, and I will cleanse you. Which means he will also lift that burden off of you. That burden of guilt of running around that I've done this and I've done that, and there's no hope for me. Yes, there is hope for you. There's help for you. In the Lord Jesus Christ, he has declared that I will be with you in every circumstance of life, even throughout the end of time. And simply come unto him who is able to give you relief, able to give you comfort, and able to forgive you and to cleanse you. Well, you said that God has already removed my sins from me as far as the east is from the west. Yes, he has. But see, brethren, he has, and that heaven will be your home. But what I'm talking about is your journey here. Your journey here can be miserable because you're trying to be everything but a little child of grace. You're trying to do it yourself and do it your own way. And thinking that you're mightier. You're not mightier. We weak. We all be weak. That's who we are. We are weak little lambs who have a chief shepherd in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think he's there for? And not to comfort you. That is why the psalmist, right, he says that the Lord is my shepherd. Acknowledging, brethren, that as little lambs we serve a chief shepherd who can provide for us our every need. Now we can neglect that sheep food and go over there and eat goat food and think you're going to be happy, but you're not. You're going to be sick. You're going to be miserable. Amen. But the Lord provides all that we need. We simply just have sense enough to partake of it. When I say sense enough, don't be offended by Brother John's choice of words, but it is what it is. We are who we are. Sometimes, as old people would tell me when I was a kid, sometimes we act like we don't have a heap of sense. That's just how we act sometimes. It's not to you rate anybody, but hopefully you show us a picture of who we are. And by God's grace, that we would repent of those things, turn and look upward to He who is our help, He who is our all and all. Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is He weary. There is no searching of His understanding. Read the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Don't try to put yourself in it. Don't try to make it to fit what you want it to fit. It is the truth. It is the inspired Word of the Creator of this world. And if you find yourself being stubborn and not liking what you hear, not liking what you read, but you don't want to stay there. You want to cry out to He who's able to deliver you from that. And He will. This simply says that those three words that were uttered by Peter. You know when Peter wanted to walk out on the water? You know? And we're saying, wait, as long as Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, Peter walked on water. Let me see you try to go out there and walk on water, see what happens. Okay? But Peter walked on water. And everybody blames Peter because Peter took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. Well, they didn't go out there in the first instance. But Peter did. Peter had faith. And he believed in his Lord, and he went out on water. And when he began to sink, he realized who it was who could save him. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord simply put his hands out there. Amen. And Peter was okay. Put your hands out there, and you will. You see that example that was given, brethren? It is not just, it's not there for no reason at all. It is given, brethren, that we as God's children might have an understanding that we have help in this life. That we have a deliverer in this life who has not only paid for our sin debt in an eternal sense, but He also delivers us daily as we journey in this world. All we have to do is simply say, help me, Lord. And He is there, He is a near and present help to those that loves and those that call upon His name. He will help you. When He says to come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now I know that we all believe that. But when the time comes, do we go? Or do we just simply wobble in our misery? He says, come unto me. And I know we all believe that with all of our hearts. But do we? When the time comes and the trouble comes, do we go? To He who has already bid us to come. He has promised you. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Do we not seek rest as we journey in His world? Rest from sin and all the trouble that so easily beset us if we live. Do we not seek an opportunity for a respite? I trust that we receive when we come into a little Bethel spot like this. There is a respite for us, the little child of grace, gather God's people to hear the preached word of God. There's also a respite in the marketplace, in the prayer closet. We simply need to that call to come and begin. All you that wait, He will give you rest. He gives power to the faint.
Yep.
And to them that have no might, He increases strength. And many of us don't like to feel weak. It's just sort of an inherent natural thing, you know. We don't want to feel like we're weak and we can't accomplish things in life. You know, people look at us as being weak. We don't like that feeling, do we? No, we don't. I don't. I know you don't. But what does He tell us here? He says that He gives power. And what did Jesus tell the apostle when he went to the Lord? Three times he went to the Lord. And three times he asked the Lord to remove that thorn from his flesh. And what did the Lord tell him? My grace is sufficient. The sufficiency of the grace of Almighty God, brethren, it is sufficient to take you through this life, to take you on. It is limitless. So when we think about power of Almighty God, that power is manifested in our weakness. Now, we can't pretend to be weak. That's just, you know, it just sounds like pretending to be humble. I mean, it's the same thing. You can't take those things, brethren. But our weakness is revealed when we simply just trust. And we know the Lord who cares. Not just, well, I got one foot over here and the other foot's pressing. But what that? It has to be all of you. All of you. The trust in the Lord. He's going to carry you to heaven. Why don't we simply just trust Him in the little things in life? What's so hard about that? Could it be our hardness of heart? Could it be the same stiff-necked stubbornness that our brethren of old had? When Moses said, God, why did you give me these stiff-necked people? We're just like them. We're just as stubborn in 2023 as we were back in 1811. We're the same little creature who simply failed to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We want to lean too much on our own understanding. Get your understanding. Let's think of it this way. I'm brand new. I don't know what to mean when it comes to spiritual faith and trust in the Lord. I don't want you to say, I don't know a thing and don't know how to get home today. I'm talking about when it comes to our life in this world and our work and our walk with the Lord. If you want to walk with the Lord, you got to trust Him. You got to trust in His Word. Trust when He says, when He declared unto us that I am the way, I am the truth. We have to trust in that. Lean not on our own understanding or what somebody else may say to you.
Right.
But simply trust in the Lord with all of your hearts. And He will carry you through. Because He does. He thinks not. He's not worried. He's not off asleep. Or He's not off in New York somewhere and can't tend to your needs here in Fort Walton. He's everywhere. Yes. And He's ever with you, wherever you are. And when He gives you that power and strength, it is to His grace. It is to His glory.
Amen.
When He picks you up,
right,
it is to His grace and to His glory. Remember the story I just told you about the young lady who came and said, what do I need to do to get money? It's a deep job. We do things to the glory of God. And God lifts us up. Understand who it is who's lifting you up. It's not you. And I say this too, that we as God's children might understand that in all aspects of our life, we have to give praise and we have to give honor to the Lord our God.
Amen.
Naturally speaking, it's very easy for us to think too highly of ourselves and look at what great deeds we did or what great thing we've done or how smart and how mighty we are. If we're lifted up in the eyes of this world, it is to God's praise. It is to God's glory. That some little lamb might see that and glorify the Father. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But they that wait upon the Lord
shall
patience. God is long-suffering. He is patient. We are not. But what the writer is telling us here, brethren, is that we must be patient. If we're to trust in the Lord, we're also to trust in His time. And to understand that His timing is perfect. His understanding is perfect. Ours is not. So when the writer says that those that wait upon the Lord, they're not waiting there just sitting on their hands, putting their thumbs. They're waiting with a sure hope in the sure promises of the Lord our God. That He is there with them to deliver and carry them through whatever trial or whatever circumstance of life that they may be going through. He's going to carry you through. So we wait. We wait in prayer. We wait in hope. We wait in thanksgiving. Thanking the Lord that Thou hast suffered me to be here. Thou hast suffered me to be in this trial that I might be blessed to look to Thee to deliver me and to lift me up out of this trial. Realizing that I'm unable to do it on my own, but I know that Thou art able. And I know that Thou hast promised me that in every circumstance of this sinner's life that Thou would be with me to carry me through life and to one day carry me home. That's what we trust in. That is what we are. His promises, brethren, steadfast, but true, and they're real. this is not just words that have no meaning or have no power or purpose. These are words to encourage a little lamb of God as we journey. That you realize that you have a helpmate. You realize you have hope. You realize, brethren, that you have a rock to lean on. And you realize that that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, who will never forsake you. And he will never leave you. And one sweet day, when it's time for you to go home, we trust that he will be there just like he was for Brother Stephen, standing to receive him on the glory. He is your Father. He is your Savior. And he says that if you wait upon the Lord, that he shall renew your strength. And that you will mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run. They will not be weary. And they shall walk. Be lifted up, brethren, to the glory of Almighty God. It's likened to the eagle's wings. Have you ever been blessed to be in that situation? Where you feel that the Lord is just lifting you up? In the midst of, I can remember years ago being in a meeting. And the strangest thing, you know, how people going back and forth, trying to do this and do that. And I just felt the Lord in the whole thing. I just started smiling because deliverance had come. Deliverance had come. You could feel the Spirit of Almighty God just overshadowing the whole thing. You see, brethren, when you find yourself in life circumstances, maybe seem like it's miserable and pressing down on you, you have a God. Trust in him. Call upon him. Be like Peter says, Lord, save me. Deliver me from this. And he will. And in a sweet and mighty way. It'll bring a smile on your face, but it'll make you feel like you're flying off. I think even better than that, see, because I don't like heights, and I don't think I feel very comfortable being on eagle's wings. I feel comfortable being in the hands of the Lord, that's for sure. I'll feel comfortable there. And they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not be. Blessed be his name. That's true.
That is
true. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. God will take care of you. What number is that?